Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
This will definitely be at least a two-part series. There's no way. I didn't even get halfway this morning. And I was actually planning to do a two-part series. I didn't even get halfway this morning with this half. So we'll see what happens. Amen. But let's start in Genesis 15, verse number 5. Genesis 15, verse number 5. We need to understand what a covenant is before we can even talk about marriage. Amen. So Genesis 15, verse number 5, it says this. Then he brought him outside and said, so the Lord brought Abram outside and said, look now towards heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed in the Lord and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord, how shall I know that I will inherit it? So God makes this promise to Abram, and Abram thinks it's really great, but he wants to know from God, how am I going to know that what you're telling me is the truth? How am I going to know that your commitment to me, your promise to me, will actually come to pass, that it's real? So immediately we see Abram with an attitude of, well, you know, that sounds really great, but prove it, you know. So let's go on in verse number 9. So he said to him, bring me a three-year-old heifer, a three-year-old female goat, a three-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. Then he brought all these to him and cut them in two down the middle, and placed each piece opposite the other. But he did not cut the birds in two. And when the vultures came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. Now when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell on Abram. And behold, horror and great darkness fell upon him. Then he said to Abram, know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them. And they will afflict them 400 years, and also the nation whom they serve I will judge. Afterwards they shall come out with great possessions. Now as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace, and you shall be buried at a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall return here, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. And it came to pass when the sun went down and it was dark that, behold, there appeared a smoke oven and a burning torch that passed between those pieces. On the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram. A covenant with Abram. Right away, we see Abram desiring to know from God, how can I know that this covenant, that this commitment that you're making to me is real? And the way that God does that is he performs a sacrifice. Everybody say sacrifice. Any covenant requires sacrifice. There will always be sacrifice in covenant. If you look at our new covenant, Jesus was the sacrifice. We are now in Christ because of the sacrifice of him laying his life down. So he went to the cross as a sacrifice for us to have this new covenant. Can you say amen? Now that's really just the tip of the iceberg. The reality is, in the Old Testament or in the Hebrew language, the word for covenant is the word borit. And it's a very powerful word with a lot of meaning. It speaks of a covenant that is strong and must not break. It speaks of a sacrifice. It speaks, if you study it deep, it speaks of cutting. It speaks of real serious commitment. Now in the Greek, if you go in the New Testament, the word covenant really stands for contract. Contract. And it's very interesting because if you think about it, it's very much like marriage is today. It's a contract. And we go to the courthouse or to the marriage ceremony, we do our vows, we sign our contract, and we can just as well end it with the contract as well. Can you say amen? Okay, so that's kind of like where we're at. Now, I went and had a look at what is it that a marriage means in the dictionary. It was very interesting for me to see this. I was actually really surprised by this. In the dictionary, the word marriage means this. It's a legal or formally recognized union of two people as partners in a personal relationship. This is what a marriage is described as in the dictionary. Now watch. Historically, in other words, it used to be like this. Historically, and in some jurisdictions, specifically a union between a man and a woman. So the dictionary no longer says that a marriage is between a man and a woman, but rather between two people as partners in a personal relationship. But in the old days, it used to be between a man and a wife. Can you say amen? A man and a woman. So that's what marriage is. We know that in the Bible, in Psalm 50, verse number 5, this is what the Bible says. It says, "Gather my saints together to me, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice." If we had to modernize this language, we would basically say, "Bring those to me who have made a commitment to me." That have made a commitment to me. How many of you know that when you give your life to Jesus, you make a commitment to Him? Basically, you are doing your part of the covenant by saying, "I commit to you. I covenant with you." Can you say amen? Amen. But we see that God's understanding, or the way that God created marriage, was a very serious thing. It's a very serious covenant and should be taken very, very seriously. God created marriage, number one, to be between a man and a woman. That's how He created it. If we look in Matthew 19, verse number 5, this is what it says. It says, "The Pharisees also came to Him, testing Him and saying to Him, 'Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife or just any reason?' And He answered and said to them, 'Have you not read that He who made them from the beginning made them male and female?'" So there's no doubt Jesus replies to the question about marriage, male and female. Amen. Let's not get confused. Hallelujah. All right. There's no doubt that God's original plan for the marriage was male and female. Of course, Satan always likes to pervert that, but let's get to the point here. Are there any men here this morning? Come on, guys. Are there any men here this morning? Yes. Do you feel like a man? Yes. Are you a man? Yes. Do you look like a man? Yes. Do you have all the man stuff? Yes. You're a man. Hallelujah. If you're a woman, are there any women here this morning? Yes. See, I love the woman. Yes, they participate, man. You know. So the women are here. Let me tell you something, men. Go and try and breastfeed. See how it works out for you. It's not going to happen. You cannot have a baby. Women have got stuff that you don't got. You can't be a woman. God created a woman to be a woman, and He created a man to be a man. There is no confusion. God's original plan was for man and woman to come together. Amen. He created man differently. Man was created with broader shoulders. Man was created to be a protector, a coverer, a provider, all these different things, which we're going to talk about over the next few weeks. This week, I'm going to speak a lot to the men and about your responsibility. Also, the ladies next week. Don't worry, we'll talk to the ladies too. Relax, guys. Okay, don't get upset, because after the first service, the ladies are like, "Oh, that was great," you know, and the men were like, you know, "I don't know so much," you know. So, okay, we're going to get into it. I'm going to cover as much as I can this morning, but I must lay this foundation in order for you to understand a great mystery, which we'll look at in a minute. But we see in verse number 5, it says, so let's just read there, verse number 4. "And He answered and said to them, 'Have you not read that He who made them at the beginning made them male and female?'" In verse number 5, "And He said, 'For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh.'" The two shall become one flesh. When man and woman come together, they become one. Why? Because, this is so powerful. Man and woman have an ability when they come together, only when they come together, to reproduce the image of God. God created us in His image and likeness, and He said, go and reproduce. Only a man and woman can do the reproducing, okay? As soon as we start messing with DNA, it didn't work out good for Noah and them. Let's not get into that. But let me tell you, that's not the way it's supposed to be. Technology and science, all this stuff, it's a man and a woman. It's a man and a woman, amen? It's the man's and the woman's stuff, amen, that make it happen, amen? So a man and a woman come together and they recreate the image of God. Now, watch this now. There's a great mystery in this, and Paul speaks about it in Ephesians. We'll get there in a minute. But the mystery is regarding Christ and the church. Why? Because Christ and the church are the ones who reproduce the image of God. Am I right? Christians, the church comes together. What do? We produce more Christians. Amen. People get saved. They become Christ-like. They give their lives to Jesus. Same thing. Amen. The marriage is a mystery because it does the same thing. It reproduces life. Amen. It reproduces the image of God. Amen. All right. Some of you think it's okay. It's okay. Now, the devil always has a plan and wants to stop this and wants to mess up everything he does. Look, Satan will do whatever he can to mess up God's image. Satan gets freaked out that God uses the dust of the earth to give his spirit to another person. Amen. Okay. Three of you got it. That's okay. Maybe I should preach to this side. Okay. All right. So the devil comes along with things like adultery, homosexuality, lesbianism, and fornication to mess up his perfect plan. I didn't say that. Next week, I'm going to talk a lot about the role of the Father and why it's so important. Because if you don't understand the Father's love, and I'm talking about God now, you will struggle in your house. You will struggle in your life. So God must always be the Father in the house. And everything, the marriage actually comes out of the Father. Because all things are created outside of Him. Amen. So He's the key role there. Amen. The Father God is the key role there. So it's very important that you understand the Father's love. Whereas the enemy will do whatever he can to pervert this. Everything that opposes the union of what that as God has created it, which is marriage and a man and a woman coming together, is Antichrist. It's Antichrist. Now remember, I've taught you about how it is important that we do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So a lot of people say, but you know, Pastor, that's how it is today. Well, no, it's not. It's just you've been conformed. You've been fashioned. The word conformed in the Greek is the word fashioned. In other words, it's like you watch a TV show and you like the clothes. Now you go and put them on. So if you are being conformed or fashioned to this world, you are now accepting what the devil has brought out as normal. It's not normal for you to go and sleep around. It's not normal for a man to be with a man. It's not normal for a woman to be with a woman. It distorts the image of God. You see, when children, listen to me, when children are born and there's no father, there's no household, there's no marriage, the image is distorted. The correct image is distorted. Now again, please don't get upset. Don't feel condemned, as that's the devil. You are here to be restored today. God is going to heal you. He's going to heal your heart. He's going to heal your marriage. And if your marriage is over, okay, now let's go. Amen. Let's pick up the pieces and let's get going. Because God's going to bless you. And He's going to bless your legacy. He's going to bless your children. He's not going to allow the enemy to destroy it. Because you see, the enemy has created a fatherless generation. Not only in the people, but in the church as well. Oh, Lord. What is a marriage? Ephesians 5:31 says this. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Now watch. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. As I said to you earlier on, only Christ and the church represent the same thing, and that is to recreate the image of God. Amen. When you become a Christian, you can get so close to God. And how many of you know the Bible says that we must become Christ-like? Amen. So we are being transformed all the time. We begin to walk with God and He transforms our image more and more into the likeness of Christ. Amen. The same way the family reproduces as well what God created right in the beginning, His image and likeness, you and I. Amen. Number one, marriage is a covenant. Marriage is a covenant. Marriage was designed by God and not by man. So why are we trying to change it? Why are we trying to change it? Oh, you know, now it's not anymore. It was historically between a man and a woman. It's not right, guys. It's wrong. Don't come and tell me, well, you know, I'm politically correct and I feel like... No. It's God's way or the highway, buddy. Let me tell you. Whether you're a Democrat or a Republican or an independent, you are first a Christian. And that's what you stand for. Don't come with your political correctness because I'm not interested. I want to know, what does God say? What does the Word say? Oh, shame, let them abort the babies. Yeah, let them kill the image that God is trying to create. Let them distort the image. Well, now, Pastor, now you're a Republican. No, I'm not. That's what the Bible says, man. Wake up. Oh, people get, and the guys get upset. I get hate mail all the time. It's become normal for me. Don't get angry at me. If you are a believer, what does the Bible say? Do you know the Word to be true? Oh no, I'm a believer, but I think abortion's fine. Don't be ridiculous, man. How can it be fine? How can it be fine to take a life? How can that be okay? Oh, you know, yes, woman's rights. Whatever. I'll tell you what your right is, woman, in just a minute, and you're gonna like it a lot. Okay, you're gonna like it a bunch. Amen. All right, so marriage is a covenant. Marriage was designed by God and not by men. Let's not mess with that union. Amen. Marriage is a mystery. Marriage is a mystery. I've spoken to you about that, that God has created us in His image and likeness. Marriage represents the same thing, and so does Christ represent the same thing. Now, watch this. Ephesians 5, verse number 28. Here we go. Get ready. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Ladies, if you are thinking of marrying a man and that man struggles with his own image, he doesn't like himself, he has no confidence, don't marry him. Don't marry him. You are not going to fix him after you married. Amen. He can only love you if he loves himself. If he recognizes the Christ in himself and he has the boldness to walk in who he's called to be, can he then marry you? Amen. Can you say amen? Okay. A couple of ladies are cheering, like maybe two guys. It's okay. I understand. All right. All right. Now. All right. Jesus loves his wife in such an amazing way. How many of you know we are the bride of Christ? Okay, so we are his bride. And the church is his wife. So he loves his bride. Now how does he love his wife? Watch, Ephesians 5:25 says this. Husbands, love your wife just as Christ loved the church. Now that's beautiful. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. Now, what did he do that shows his love? Watch. And gave himself for her. Now, I hear guys all the time, Pastor, I love her so much. I'm going to give myself to her. Be quiet, you fool. That's not what it says. It says, give myself for her. In other words, I am willing to die for her. I'm willing to give my life for her. What did Jesus do on the cross? He didn't come down to earth and say, listen, I'm the Messiah and I'm going to sign this contract and give my life to you. No, he paid for you with his blood. He paid for you with his blood. If you're going to get married, you better make sure that the guy you're marrying and you yourself are willing to lay your life down for that person you marry. Because when I counsel, and I counsel people all the time for marriage, I went for counseling and I got caught with this. But I'll never forget it. I sat in the counseling room and the pastor said to me, he said, young man, why do you want to marry this lovely lady? And she was lovely. She still is, amen. So I said, I'm blessed, what can I say, amen. So I remember sitting there and, hey, you know, Pastor, yeah, I mean, she's beautiful, man. And, you know, I just love her and she just makes me feel so wonderful. And, you know, she completes me and da-da-da-da-da, all this stuff. And he looked at me and, oh, okay, and go on. And he said to her, now tell me, sweetheart, why do you love this guy? Why do you want to marry him? Oh, no, Pastor, look at him. You know, he's such a beautiful, hunky guy. And, you know, I mean, that's what she said. You know what I mean? So, you know, Pastor, you know, he's you know, he's so wonderful to me and he's so good to me and he takes care of me. And I don't know if you're listening, but there's a whole lot of me. And then I quickly say to them, are you willing to give everything for her? In other words, we should change the way we think. It's not about what she can do for me. If you really love someone, that's why the Bible says no greater love is there than this, than to lay your life down for your friend. If you really love your wife, stop wanting her to give everything to you. Start getting to a place where you say, how can I change me so that I can make her life better? Don't get off easy, woman. You have to do the exact same thing. Oh, but you know, we don't have to die. Oh, yes, we do. Oh, yes, we do. As believers, when we give our lives to Jesus, we have to die as well. How many of you know when you give your life to him, you have to make a commitment? Romans 8:9 or 9:8, I can't remember which one it is, where he says, if you confess with your mouth that the Lord, that he is Lord, that Jesus is Lord, then you will be saved. In other words, if you are saying he's Lord, that means I give my life to you as my Lord. I surrender my everything to you. You've given your life to me. Now I give my life to you. And we'll talk about what that looks like in a marriage in a little bit, some today, some next week. But the fact of the matter is that there has to be some sacrifice in order to make the marriage work. I sit and counsel many people, and every time it's one of them that's not willing to compromise at all. It's one of them who's not willing to lay their lives down at all. That's always the problem. You see, if you're not willing to lay your life down for someone and you marry them, as soon as something better comes along, off you go. Or if all of a sudden they get really sick and they can't please you anymore, whatever it is, off you go. But the fact of the matter is that covenant requires sacrifice. And marriage is a covenant. Don't marry someone if you're not willing to lay your life down for them. It's not always easy. It's not always easy. Because the fact of the matter is, you don't just die the day you get married. You die every day. Every day. Well, I used to do that. Well, no. Are you doing it now? Are you giving of your life now? I have people come and sit with me and they want to change their husbands. Have you changed? Have you made an effort? Have you made an effort to show him love? When last did you make him breakfast in bed? When last did you make an effort to show him how much you appreciate him? When last, when he got home from work, did you give him a hug and tell him how much you love him? I know you've had the whole hell all day with the kids. I understand. But lay your life down. And when you lay your life down and he lays his life down, the two shall become one flesh. And the two will become so powerful, and you will be changed into the image of Christ together. This is a union in Christ, guys. This can only happen in Christ. I feel very sorry when you're not saved and you're walking and you're not walking with the Lord and you're trying to walk in your marriage, you're going to struggle because you haven't even learned to die to yourself with Christ yet. How are you going to manage in your marriage? Let's be honest. Amen. It's very quiet on the West End. Oh, not the West End. Yeah, we are. I'm talking like I'm really far away. Okay. Marriage is a covenant. The reality is this. If you're a young person and you're willing to sleep with someone before they make a marriage commitment to you, what you are saying is, you don't have to die for me. I'm not worth dying for. And let me tell you right now, I think you're worth it. I think you're worth it. I don't think Jesus wasted his time. Now, why are you going to sell yourself short so some guy can give himself to you? I'm going to give you my all, honey. No. If you're going to give me your all, you're going to wait, my boy. You're going to wait, and when the time is right, we will both lay down our lives together. Amen. Listen to me. You have no protection. You have no protection when you participate outside of the marriage bed, because your marriage is your covenant. It's your protection. Oh, but he loves me so much. Are you stupid, man? No. It's got nothing to do with that. If he loves you, he'll put a ring on it. Come on. I don't know, I'm misbehaving today. I'm sorry, guys. It's bad, I know. Listen to me. A marriage covenant requires sacrifice. It requires sacrifice. You have to die. We have to die. Watch this now. I love this. You know, when I marry couples, I have about three or four different sets of vows that I offer to give them. When they get married, I offer to give them these vows. They choose the ones they want normally. Or if they say, just pick for me, I pick for them. And these are the ones I use the most. And you'll understand why afterwards. I'm not naming anyone in particular, but let's just say, okay, I, John, take you, Nicole, to be my wife. Listen to this. Before God who brought us together, to love and cherish you even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, to lead you and share all of life's experiences with you by following God through them, that through his grace we might grow together into the likeness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. And then the lady responds by saying, I, Nicole, take you, John, to be my husband before God who brought us together. Now watch, to love you, to cherish you, to submit myself to you in all things, and to follow you through all of life's experiences as you follow God, that through his grace we might grow together into the likeness of Christ, our Savior and Lord. Now, let me ask you, doesn't it sound beautiful? And it's wonderful that day, but don't forget about it when the going gets tough. Don't forget the words that you committed to that person the day you got married. And if anyone wants anything less from you than that, don't marry them. Because you don't stand at the altar and say, I, Alex, take you, Naomi, to be my wife because you're going to make me happy and because you're going to make me breakfast and because you're going to give me everything I need. And when I want to buy a new boat, you're just going to let me do it. And I'm just going to do this and you're going to take care of the kids. No, I'm telling you now, she's not going to marry you. It takes laying your life down in order to make it work. There must be give and take and compromise in your relationship, or else it's not going to work, guys. Can you say amen? Amen. All right. Men and women are created differently, but the world is trying hard to fashion us to become something we are not designed to be. You know, how is it possible that young men and women go to the bar, and before the night is over, they are in either a hotel room or They don't even know each other. And let me tell you something, that woman, you are not created to do that. You are not created to be like that, because your nature requires tenderness and love and compassion and hugs and gentle touch. That's how you are. You're not the wild animal that the porn movies have created. Okay, that's not who you are. But you've become fashioned. So now you even begin to question yourself. You've become conformed to this world, because that's what the world wants you to believe. That's normal. No, that's not normal. And if you're a man and you expect your wife to be like that woman on that movie, let me tell you something. You are wrong, my friend. You are wrong, because you will never meet the need like that. You will never satisfy her if that's your expectation. Okay, that's a little rough, I know. Okay, but it's the truth. Amen. Don't be conformed. You are a woman. You've been created as a woman with the nature of a woman, and you're beautiful and wonderfully made. Men, we're a little different. Amen. Okay, we'll talk about that next week. We'll talk more about that. But let me lay the foundation. All right. The time just goes so fast. Let me tell you something. Your marriage, your relationship, your family, your children, this is who you are. And one day when you're gone, your success, your money, your degrees, and all that mean very little. You leave a legacy in your kids, in your family. Protect it with everything you have. Don't rush into it, guys. Young people, don't rush into it. Don't give yourself away for free, men. You are worth it. When you, if you're in a relationship, do everything you can. If things are going rough in your relationship, make a decision to lay yourself down, because you might have children in your marriage and you're going to affect those kids. You've got no idea what will happen. I walk and counsel all the time young people that have gone through broken homes. Now it happens. And if it's happened to you, it's okay, because you're here right now. Let's take the pieces and put them together. Amen. God has got a plan for your life. Why? Because He loves you. And listen, you are worth it, because He died for you. He died for you. You are worth it. It doesn't matter. I don't care what they say. Well, you did this, and you might have been this, and you might have done this. It doesn't matter. You are here this morning, and I'm here to tell you this morning that God is a restorer. He wants to restore you. He wants to heal you. He wants to put the pieces back together. Whether you come from a broken marriage, whether you were a whatever, I don't care. You are here this morning. Make a decision. If you're going to let the enemy whisper in your ear now and tell you how bad you are because you messed up, well, then, you know, I hate the devil. Don't submit to that. Understand, you were brought here this morning because God has a word for you. And the word is this: pick up the pieces of your life, the broken pieces. Don't sell yourself short, guys. God has a plan for you. He's put you in a situation right now. You're here in this church. We're going places. God's going to do some amazing things with us, with your life, because you're worth it. You're worth it. And make sure, if you're not in a relationship, that you both have the same attitude. And if you are, and things are rocky right now, if you keep thinking in your head, me, 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 what about me, what about how, then there's a problem with you. Yes, there may be a problem with him. I understand that. Or there may be a problem with her. I get that. But this morning, please, I beg you to save your marriage. Remember that marriage requires sacrifice. It's time to lay our lives down, guys. I have to do it. Sometimes I can be a little selfish, you know. My wife and my family is more important than my ministry. God is first, but my family is second, and then you guys are next. Amen? Why? Because that's my legacy. They are my legacy. Now listen, if you can't have kids, let me tell you something. I know people who have had no kids that have got more kids than anybody, that have left a legacy like nobody's business. Amen. Are you guys okay? Amen. I'm almost done. I'm going to wrap it up in a few minutes. In fact, I'm going to stop there. I want you to remember this morning that marriage requires sacrifice. Covenant requires sacrifice. We've been created in His image and likeness. We must reproduce that. Amen. Stop thinking about how your wife must change and think about what you can do to change. And woman, same for you. Stop thinking about how he's so bad and he's this and he's that and he's this. It's time for you to lay your life down. And I can tell you there are people sitting in this church that I've told this to. They went and did it and it worked. Their family wasn't even serving the Lord. Now they are. Why? Because they made a choice. In the beginning it was, he's this, he's this, he's this. And now, and I said to them, hey, what about this? And their perspective changed. And God did what he does best. And we lay our lives down. Amen. You guys are precious. And I want to tell you this morning, can you all stand for just a minute? Just dim the lights for me. I want you to remember there's no condemnation. If you've made a mistake, if you're a young person, you've made a mistake, it's okay. His grace is sufficient for you. But make a decision today. Make a decision. You're worth it. Make a decision to wait for the right person and make a decision to be the right person for the person that God will send you so that you can come together in union and work together to be the image that He's created you to be and create such a powerful legacy for His kingdom. Amen. If you've been divorced, please, there's no condemnation. Many people have been divorced. It's their fault. Many of them, it wasn't their fault. It doesn't matter. You hear this morning, His grace is sufficient for you. Let's pick up the pieces and begin the healing and start working on your kids because they are so important. They are so important. Tell them that you love them. Tell them that you care about them. Tell them that they mean the world to you, that you'll do anything for them because we have to lay our lives down for our children too. Amen. That's what it's all about. We serve each other. We love each other. Amen. If you're in a relationship right now and you're going through turmoil, you know, I don't know every individual situation. I can feel in my heart there's people that are going through some very heavy stuff. And I know your husband is treating you so badly. And he doesn't deserve you laying down your life. He doesn't deserve it. But you know what? We didn't deserve Christ laying His life down either. And at least you know this, that you've given it everything you have. You've laid your life down and you've given it everything you have. You do that and you are free. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, and lift your hands, church. Lift your hands to Him. Be made whole this morning in this place. Father, we call upon you right now to fill this place with freedom, with liberty, with life. Father, you have created us in an incredible way, man and wife, to come together. This is your plan for us, for those of us that desire to get married. This is your plan for us, Father, and it's wonderful. We recreate the image that you created. Then we get saved and we walk together. But Father, we must realize that it takes a cost to have a covenant. In this case, it costs our lives. You've laid it all down on the line for us. And right now, we lay it down, our lives, for our spouses. I lay my life down, Father, for my wife this morning. I will work on being less selfish, less self-centered. And Father, every one of us here this morning, we pray the same thing for our lives. Father, I'm going to stop praying, change my wife. And I'm going to start praying, change me. Father, for those who come out of broken marriages, heal their hearts this morning. Restore their hearts this morning. There is no condemnation for you because you are worth it. You are worth it. And it's not too late. How can it be you are here this morning? Father, put together the pieces. Restore the pieces. And bless them, Father. Bless them. For many of them are hurt. Their hearts are broken. Heal their hearts, Father. For this is your plan this morning. And I thank you that your presence is here this morning. Your presence is right here with us this morning. And we love you. And we praise you. And we give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Father, now I pray that you will bless everyone as they leave here this morning. that you will bless them, protect them, that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and communion of the Holy Spirit be with every one of them as they go. Father, let this be a new day for all of us. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your love and your goodness. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.